Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week where I will talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, movies, music, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between, never forgetting the talc. This week it's all about music, and this week it is, once again, Dynamo's Dozen.
So here we are in Near FM in beautiful sunny Coolock, and I've got four absolute beasts in front of me. And the reason I say that is because most of them are taller than me. Well,
except me.
Two of them. But I've got the four titans of Irish metal, which they didn't want me to say in inverted commas, but I'm going to say it anyway because it is Dynamo's Dozen, and you are all very, very welcome. I'm going to do the introduction here. I've got Carl King, the lead vocalist of Two Tales of Woe.
How do?
Hello. I've got Jason McGuinness, the lead vocalist of Creep.
Afternoon.
I've got Dave Cullen, the lead vocalist of Element X.
How do
they
do?
And then, last but not least, I've got Gabrielle Gabba, the lead singer from Sectoil.
Hello.
I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's my first time meeting this gentleman, and what a pleasure it is, my friend.
He's gorgeous, isn't he?
Same here.
It is gorgeous. Absolutely. He's very gorgeous. He's got beautiful hair.
Stop it.
Yeah.
So we were tight and watching.
Looks like he's been he's been tanning there for the last couple of days. I can see. You know.
I was in Spain. Yeah. So it's not. I'm usually kind of yellow.
He's got that strong Navan accent there. Yeah.
if you look at the photo that we got on Facebook that originated this podcast, you'll see how yellow I actually am.
You're actually sick then.
Yeah, this sort of sick yellowish color.
Somewhere else, but you know what I mean.
Ain't that kind of show?
It's a family friendly show.
All the rest of us are pink with their freckles.
Oh well, speak for yourself, Mr. Cullen. I was in Portugal during that. Got a bit of a tan going, you know. I come from a long line of Spanish heritage, but I still got freckles. Yeah, it's all good. Listen, Gabriel kind of gave it away here. This is true. What he mentioned there was that I saw this photo now, which is obviously going to become kind of, I guess, famous after this show. I guess. After
thousands
50 people
listen.
Thousands of likes. No, but honestly, God, it was actually a really good photo, and I kind of know yous all. As I said, you've talked to me about Gabriel and Sektor for a long time. Carl, that is. And when I saw the four of yous, I just went, this would be an epic podcast, because it wasn't a podcast that Carl, you could personally put on. You know what I mean? Because you'd be hosting it. I figured, let's get the four guys.
Tried,
well, yeah, you could. Yeah, but you're not now.
But, I can't have everything.
But I thought I'd let you guys talk, because obviously you guys are really close as well. You have gigged a lot with the whole metal to the masses thing, especially this year. You all kind of got really close and kind of supported each other, which was really good to see. I mean, no matter for me on a personal level, no matter what it is, whether it be wrestling, whether it be music, whether it be whatever it is, it's really good to see a little brotherhood that are kind of there each and every week to kind of support the boys and kind of help each other out in whatever way it can be. I guess best way to start is, how did you all actually kind of get to kind of bond together? I mean, I'll start with Carl there, because I know you obviously have the mighty King Woe's Court, which is a phenomenal podcast, which I've been on. You've been on mine before, so my guests are very familiar with yourself. You kind of took it upon yourself to kind of go out and kind of help support that whole kind of tournament, didn't you?
Yeah, I try. I mean, I'm very passionate about Irish metal, you know, and if anyone knows me, they should know that by now anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I do my podcast solely for Irish metal, you know, just for, if it even interests one band, then I'm happy. You know, I mean, we've had, I don't think you've been on the podcast yet.
Hugo was
on it.
Yeah, it was myself, Hugo,
so long ago.
He was on it.
So everyone here has been on the podcast, so they know how we work, and you know, like that, I have a certain affinity to certain people, and it's just when I know it's good musicians and good talent and that kind of stuff, so I just like, I feel, and I'm like a I'm almost like a preacher. We need to be supporting each other.
Yeah.
With Irish Metal.
Yeah.
Because for too long, too many people were trying to, you know, stab each other in the back and
outdo each other, kind of. Shit. Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
Like, I'm going the longest out of everyone here, and that's, you know, I am. But I still have an affinity to everyone here at the table, you know, yeah. And everyone is as good as everybody, if you know what I mean. And that's what I love. To be able, like, this is a great thing this evening to get us all together,
yeah,
to talk as vocalists and musicians and whatever, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, you know, thanks for getting it together, like, really. I mean, it was your idea, it wasn't my idea.
Yeah, well, look, to be honest, like, Carl, you know me the longest, we've been running with each other for
too long.
Yeah, too long. And not long enough at the same time.
True.
But, like, as you know, I had a history before in music. So, I mean, vocals and vocalists and music in general is something that I'm quite passionate about in my own way. It's just not something I do anymore on a personal level. So I love, you know, I mean, I know Dave has been on my show many times and vice versa. Jay, you've been on my show before. Gabriel, it's your first time, and
it as is, I said, it's pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you as well. But, like, it's something that I am kind of passionate about as well. Is really good music, good singing, and as I said, it's kind of like it's the vocalist's court here. I like, yeah, it. Do you know what I mean? It really is, and that's what kind of I'm going to segue into this, because each and every one of you have different backgrounds. There's four dudes here with completely different backgrounds, all from different parts of the world. Yeah, it's true. it's unique. I would like to kind of give me, I guess, without kind of in a long-winded kind of answer. Dave, I'll start with yourself. What kind of got you into wanting to be a singer in general, and was there any particular kind of start, you know, any particular sound or band or song that made you want to do it, or was it just something you said one day, fuck it, I'm going to do this?
I started singing out of a bet, strangely enough.
Out of a bet, you see.
When I was 18 years old, I didn't even know I could sing. Because
okay.
At the time I thought, like, all type of singing was for girls and stuff like that.
Okay.
And one day, a friend of mine convinced me to try stage school, like, over in Baldoyle, and give it a go. He only talked to stay the week. I thought, you know, I'm enjoying this, I'll stick around, and kept doing it locally, and then did it in college. But then when I left college, I thought, well, let's see if I can do it by myself.
Like, yeah.
Singing a group, I can do it myself. And I tried singing lessons. I had a very good singing teacher called Nicky Byrne, who encouraged me to find my voice. And
from Westlife, yeah?
No, Nicky Byrne. her stage name was Nicky Shearer.
All right, fair enough.
And, yeah. She's based now in Spain now. She moves there with her husband. And she just encouraged me to find my voice, and just rather than look for a certain style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You found your own. Yeah.
And by the end, she encouraged me to join the rock bands because she thought my vocals would mix it, and I didn't join Element X for like another 2 years after that.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest is history after that. Like, so we've been together now 5 years.
Awesome.
So myself, Ian, Rodrigo, been together for 5 years, and obviously Rodrigo Hugo and Franco came in after that. Like, so.
Awesome. And that's pretty cool. Like, I mean, that's what I mean by, like, unique stories on how people, you know, find, you know, their voice, or how they want to sing, or what influences them to sing. You know what I mean? I remember, I'll just give you, Carl, you know the story. When I found the Appetite for Destruction album, yeah. I found the Appetite for Destruction album at age 12, and literally mimed in the mirror to Axl Rose, and actually drew with marker, with coloured marker, all the tattoos that I could see on Axl Rose's arms on the back of that little CD. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I didn't actually know how to sing. I was just like, I'm miming. Fuck it. But it's cool that you know what I mean? Everyone else. Carl, I mean, that's actually a good question. I've never asked you that before. Properly. Really? No, well, I mean, I know what influenced you, but, like, I mean, a lot of people here probably would like to know, when did you kind of figure out that you could sing and you wanted to be a singer? And I guess, I know Mike Patton was a huge influence on you.
Yeah, Henry Rollins as well.
And Henry Rollins, yeah.
Jim Morrison as well, believe it or not.
Okay.
In terms of songwriting and style and approach, it doesn't look like it when I'm on stage.
The poetry of it, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, yeah. I started late. I started, like, I think it was about 19 or 20.
Okay.
And I was hanging around with a few guys who weren't, they were like, oh, I'd love to start in a band. And, like, we knew nobody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we started off and one of them took up bass, one of them took up guitar, and they're like, right, you can be a drummer or a singer. I was like, well, I can't do either, so I just started off singing, and I just naturally, I've never had any kind of vocal training ever, and I just, you know, sang what I thought I could hear in my head, and we started off doing Nirvana songs, and I don't like Nirvana, but they did, but they did. So that's what started me off, was like, so it was, it was just went from there, and then I left them and went into Atomic Drop and that kind of stuff.
I've got to ask you, name a couple of Nirvana songs that you sang. I really want to know.
About a Girl.
What a tune, though. I can't imagine you singing that.
I know.
That's awesome.
I can't even remember which other ones, but because it was so, like, it was just a stepping point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't even really play. You know, I didn't even have an amp or a mic. I used a radio and put a little, like, crappy little microphone into the headphone jack.
Yeah. No, we got to start somewhere. I think we all have stories like that.
Like, imagine, like, you go, like, you're only a kid, like, you know what I mean? I'm sure you started a lot younger than me, what I am.
14.
Yeah.
Well, Jay's from that kind of Bray and Ballybrack kind of, because we talked about that before. Yeah. My brother was, you know, playing with Antichapel, became Psychosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a big scene, actually, out in Bray and Shankill, where Antichapel were kind of leading the way in a lot of ways, which Grant and all now it's progressed, as you know.
So I didn't know an awful lot of people musically until...
Yeah.
We started kind of jamming in your man's garage.
Yeah, which you were a garage band. You were literally the Clash. You are a garage band. And then,
like, they stopped, and I just continued on.
It was a passion. You found the spark.
And then I was singing a lot more around the house, and everyone was like, "Oh, you can."
And he does that a lot. And he does that a lot. Yeah, yeah.
Singing the jack.
Wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning in Carol's house. She'd be like,
So that's me.
But
essentially, in a nutshell.
Jay, same to you.
It's just me. Mum and dad were always big into.
Yeah, you were 7 years old when you started singing.
Like, it was. And they listened to, like, the best music in the world. Obviously, calling me Brother Lion after Lion's
Den. Yeah.
I was actually named after Jason Newsted as well.
I know, yeah. You got the raw end of the deal.
I got the shitty end of the stick, but anyway.
You got the voice, though.
Yeah. Thank God I'm not called Lion, man. That's what they call me then. Like, they don't call me a rip-off as it is. But, basically, my dad was a phenomenal singer, like, you know, still is, like, rock singer as well. He was in a grunge band himself, so.
Yeah.
You know, he was quite young when me and Lion were born, so basically it was just kind of bled into us, man. We always had such a love
for music. Yeah.
Like, but when I found out I could sing, I don't even know if I ever really did, to be honest.
It just happened.
Like, my used to give me sticks out the next morning. I heard you singing downstairs last night when we went to bed. You were singing along to fucking Trivium or some shit like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. But basically then just kind of went, it progressed a little bit. Like, I always wanted to be a guitar player. And I'm actually back doing that at the moment now. Which is cool, actually. Just it kind of all happened at once. Obviously, my brother Liam could drum and Liam could play guitar. At the time, Kearney could play bass. So we just kind of went up to a youth centre in Cabinteely and then just kind of got going. And since then, like, we got some really, really big gigs when we were young guys. Like, you know, we played the Academy twice, I think, in the space of 3 or 4 months as kids was huge. Like, I think we were actually still that too young to realise how kind of fucking cool that was.
I think that's where probably, you know, people mistake, probably with you, confidence for, you know, whatever.
For confidence.
But that's a really good, interesting story there, because if you're playing at that age and you're kind of learning your craft at that age, of course you're going to be confident, because you're confident in your own ability, and why shouldn't you be?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
I think I'm confident in Creep, to be honest. Like,
100%.
I think it's because we're such a fucking brotherhood, man. You know, we're
obviously,
my brother being in the band, me and Liam been best friends for years.
Well,
man.
Of course, man.
Obviously, with the new bass player coming in, I just believe that we're just fucking a bit different. Like, you know, we don't kind of get into the nitty gritty as like some of the other bands kind of do nowadays. Like, you know what I mean? We're just kind of drink beer, play music, fucking release it.
Old school.
That's what we do. Like,
that makes a massive difference to be mates as opposed to just band mates, you know.
And look, I've gone through, you know, conflict in bands.
It translates so well to when you perform live as well.
It makes such a difference.
Yeah. They sense that the working day sort of attitude maybe. That's
You know, so. It's like a synergy, kind of without trying to create it. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, definitely, like in the last year, I think I've really come on certain kind of learning course. As I said, I'm only 23. I'm still
Quite you're growing into a man. That's exactly the way it works.
As I said before, I've said things in the past, probably in the last year or two, that I shouldn't have fucking said, like, but that's just me, man. I've always been a mouthy little kid, like, but I mean, I don't mean any harm to anybody.
Well, as Carole King said before, Carole King said before, you're talking to a host that has been in those shoes. I know all about it, trust me. I've had to go out into beer gardens after gigs and pretty much be surrounded by a whole band after something I said on stage. So look, it is learning curves, and absolutely, at the end of the day, man, 100%, like, even compared to, you know, talking to you a year ago, you're a different person in that sense. Do you know what I mean? So 10 out of 10. And hats off to you, Gabriel.
Yeah,
you've been waiting eagerly. My apologies. Yeah,
and with me, it's kind of a long story, but I'll try to keep it short.
You're from, by the way, just so people know, you know, that may not, you're from Brazil.
Yes.
You're born and bred in Brazil.
Yeah.
And you moved to Ireland
in 2012.
Okay.
So yeah, so with me, I was I don't know if you have any friends like that, but I was that annoying friend as a child who's always sort of in his private little world and just singing, like humming songs to myself and sort of drumming with my fingers on everything. Yeah. And to the point that my friends were just like, Gabriel, shut up. Because, you know, because you're always humming something, and it was annoying. So I guess, you know, I was always fascinated with singing in bands, and even as a child, like, you know, I remember my brother once got a tape, like a cassette tape recorded from a friend from a CD with Metallica's The Black Album. My older brother got it, and I remember listening to that and just like my mind exploding, you know. I don't know, I think I was always just just loved music and just had it in me, but I had this idea that being in a band was something like that only like the rock gods, you know, like it was something unreachable, you know. Growing up, I just had this completely idealized version of what it was to be in a band, and I didn't think I it was something for me. Growing up, I came to realize that it was doable, you know. I started you know, listening to a lot of hard rock, like Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, that type of stuff.
Good vocalists.
Then, you know, just having friends, like older friends, showing me stuff. I came to know a band, a Brazilian band called Angra.
Okay.
They're massive power metal, symphonic metal band. And that was like around like 96, 97. When I came to know them, and like the vocalist in this band, he's amazing. He actually just passed away a couple of weeks ago.
I saw that.
He was really sad. Yeah, but this guy, he's phenomenal, and he was such a massive influence. Because I'm the guy that type of singer that's just like goes for the high notes, and I was always fascinated with that. So it was a goal for me to be able to sing that.
Of course, it was a challenge.
I just that was the type of singing that I loved. And then Aerosmith, like Steven Tyler, like he's to me the best singer in rock.
I actually tend to agree with that on a personal note.
So I just wanted to do that, and then I wasn't able for many years. And then getting into metal, you know, power metal, symphonic metal, classic heavy metal, Iron Maiden, Sabotage, all those bands. I'm a bit older. I'm with Carl here.
And me. Oh, yeah. And me. And me. I'm a year older than you. So trust me, I'm in the same.
I've been in this game for almost 20 years now. So I had a lot of bands, you know, from every genre within rock.
Sure.
In my hometown, I'm from the southernmost state in Brazil originally. Okay. And then I moved to São Paulo when I was 20.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of hard in São Paulo because it's such a massive city. And it's so hard to get a band together because there's like, that's what I was saying about you being mates, like to Jason, because I didn't have mates to be in a band, so it's so hard.
It's difficult.
And the city is so massive that even like to find someone that you have like connection with musically, but then like they're so far away, and then like you have a job, so it's just kind
of
impossible.
To arrange like you know, a meeting point and a time and
so it was many years there. I lived in São Paulo for 8 years before coming to Ireland, so those years like I had a lot of bands because I was just basically, you know, online trying to find a band, just going from band to band trying to find the right outfit, and never really worked. But it was important for me to learn, and I did vocal lessons on and off for 4 years in total, so that helped me a lot in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, to learn how to sing those notes that I really wanted.
Sure.
And then when I came to Ireland in 2012, that was actually great, because the type of, like, being in Brazil, you have the language barrier, and the vast majority of the music that I like is in English. And even though, you know, a lot of people know English and everything, and metal and rock is very popular in Brazil locally, like it's very popular for bands that are from abroad.
Yeah,
but when you're a local band singing in English and writing songs in English, there's a language barrier. So it was always like, should I be singing in Portuguese, should I be doing something a little more pop rock, so, you know, easier to be absorbed, whatever. So
at the end of the show, just say obrigado.
So when I moved to Ireland, it was great, because then, you know, let's just go straight to, you know, singing in English. We don't have that problem anymore. And I could just really go and explore a type of sound that was really my influences. So I had a few bands here before joining Sectile, helping to form Sectile, actually. So I started playing classic rock, just covers. Then I was in a band called Divide of Everything for 3 years. We were sort of grunge hard rock, and that was great, actually. There was great years being with the guys, and we developed a very good friendship that, you know, we're still friends, still hang out for beer, you know. And then Sectile, we formed Sectile about 3 years ago, and that was when I finally came back playing metal, which was where I started. So that was really cathartic for me, even like
was the Metal to the Masses in 2017 one of your first shows?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was our second show.
Closer to the mic.
Was that what it was? I think we played the... Was it the semi-final with yours?
Jason.
Oh, sorry.
Gotta come closer to the mic. They're gonna hear this in the background, me saying it anyway.
Yeah, I remember 2017, that was our first year doing it as well. And I remember we played the semi-finals at yours, I think yours got through.
Yeah.
With, I can't remember the band that got through the same night as well. But I remember somebody saying that band Sector, I think that was one of their first shows. I'm like, what?
Yeah, we had just started. we started at the end of 2016, and then we started pretty much because of Metal to the Masses. That wasn't right, but not because of Metal to the Masses, but
it's coming up.
Yeah, we signed up to Metal to the Masses, and then we were on a deadline to get our shit together and you know, get our songs, you know, sort of
kick really, up the ass kind of thing. Like, come on.
So, and we played our first gig was a week before in Fibbers on a Thursday, like playing to like five people.
Oh, stop it.
The usual
midweek gigs.
And the first gig was a bit bumpy, and we were like, oh man, next week is Metal to the Masses. But then that was our second show, and that show went well,
very well.
So it was like, okay, that's it. So Sectile has been going now for, you know, about 3 years, and happier than ever with the type of music we're making. So,
awesome. That's a really cool story as well, because one of the things I took from that, I don't know whether this would ring true to you, Carl, because Gabriel is obviously similar age to us, talking about like growing up in a culture where like you can want to be a singer, but it will never happen. That's unachievable. Yeah. Ireland at that time was probably in a similar boat, in the sense that, like, say U2, like Bono would be the only person, but they have to be special. Do you know what I mean? You have to be special or privileged to
not even think about singing rock or metal.
Do you know what I mean? So there's no way that's gonna happen. So I mean, you're talking about in Brazil, it's a similar thing. It was very similar in Ireland too. So it's kind of really cool that you kind of mentioned that, and it's kind of, I love seeing how different cultures kind of almost have similarities, I guess, in how, you know, they approach things, because Dublin was the same. Dublin was, and Carol, you can attest to this. You, I mean, you've been in bands long before I was. I mean, yeah. Trying to get guys, it was the old school, put the ad in the newspaper. The Mick Mars syndrome with Motley Crue, a strange guy from the moon or whatever it was that he said. I just thought that was genius. Like, absolute moon boy. And people go, well, we got to check this guy out. You know what I mean?
To try, it was tough back then,
create a gimmick.
To get bands together,
I guess in terms of you guys, because it's hard to kind of, we're going to have a conversation about this in general. For you, let's pick one band each, actually, because I have a few bits and pieces written down here rather than kind of making it one person at a time. Let's try and have a conversation about it. Name like kind of one band, in your opinion, that is kind of just not even necessarily the pinnacle, but that deserves to be talked about, that you believe it should be in this conversation. Let's just have a shoot the shit about it. I was going to ask, like, because I'm going to ask the question later, because Carol, this is kind of your gimmick, but I'm going to rob it a little bit purely because I want to. No, I was going to ask everyone their top five bands in general. Do you know what I mean? And Carol, we always do this. It's just more of a thing for me because mine changes on a daily basis.
Yeah,
no, depending on what's on.
It's very hard. It's a very hard answer.
But let's name one band, okay? Just that we can, you know.
Well, I'll open that up. I think Queen is a
great start.
Every member of that band is at the top of their field.
Yeah, you know? Okay, yeah, let's talk about Queen then for a bit.
As vocalists, I think we can attest that Freddie Mercury is
absolutely the best.
For me, anyway.
Yeah, he's the best.
Hence the microphone.
You said that to me before, actually. Because I remember actually having that conversation when you were saying that Freddie's.
He really had everything. Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a vocal that I can actually say. He doesn't have that.
Well, if you think about it, if you look at, like, even, you know, obviously the movie came out and you've got a lot of kind of people that don't even, you know, they know one or two songs. But I think it's a great thing because, in fairness, when I was younger, I'd have been like, fuck this shit. No, hanger honors. Well, like the Penny Syndrome, Slipknot t-shirts. You'd be like, what are you doing? What are you wearing that for? But no. I think it's a very important film in the sense that it made Queen's music relevant again to the younger generation, and that kind of gives you a little bit of hope that maybe some of the younger generation, if there's 3 out of 10 that cling on to it and it leads them on to different stuff, I think it was a very important film.
I think I'm only speaking from experience. My daughter, as you know, is her favourite band is Queen.
Yeah,
and
here's a
perfect reference for
she
you.
Even dressed up him as Freddie
for Freddie Mercury. But like, she had every opportunity to listen to pop music and that, because I never stop her from listening to anything. And then she listened to One Direction for a week.
Remember you were telling me that me and on your podcast. Yeah. Remember you said
I said nothing to her. I said, there you go.
It's your choice. Yeah.
One week. And that was it. And now she listens to, she likes whatever she likes, but it's always, I'm like, is Daddy's Band number one? She goes, no, Queen. Said 2000 number two. I was like, all right, fair enough. I don't mind losing it to Queen.
Well, if you're losing to Queen, it's not really the worst.
There is hope. The point I was trying to make is there is hope. Because there are kids out there that will listen to you.
I agree.
They will use their own mind, and they will. Okay, yeah, of course, her music, her choices are heavily influenced by what I listen to. But I mean, I listen to the Beatles as well. I listen to Elvis. She's mad about Elvis. Do you know what I mean? So it's cool in that sense. But as I said to you, she does have the choice to listen to whatever. She has MTV. She has Spotify on the PlayStation. So she listens to whatever. She loves 80s music. 80s pop,
I think,
music.
That's really good. That's really fresh, I think. Yeah. Is that somebody that listens to everything? I mean, people, for me, for example, like, they'd look at me, they'd see the big fucking sweaty 200 pound man on stage. I went down to Cork to see Liam Gallagher last week.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Oasis, like, absolutely. Know, I mean, absolutely. Oasis,
like. Yeah, and you're the ball. Do you know
and
what I mean?
Dave, me and you have talked about 80s music in the past. We've, like.
See, I can't say it lately because I'm so into my metal at the moment. Especially
I know. And when we first met, you were like, I was talking about, Pantera and all that. And you were like, well, I'm not so into metal as such. And then you were like, but I listen to it.
But the thing is, the metal shows become such an educator in the sense, not just
the okay.
Irish metal, but also all the metal around the world.
You get to hear so much that you wouldn't have before. Like,
the stuff you listen to and you take back as well.
I'd say so.
You know, like, especially from international, like all the Finnish metal that's out there. And it's not just like death metal, but also heavy metal. I heard this most amazing band last week called Death's Head and the Space Illusion, which is the craziest that name sounds.
Yeah.
It has the most epic.
What's the name of that band?
Death's Head and the Space Illusion.
Wow.
And I know it's mad, but like they have this really epic song, I forget what it's called, and it just like took me back by storm. Like, and it's great when you listen to a song, we're just like, what the fuck was that? You know what I'm saying? It just takes you back all together, and that's what I love about it so much. Like, obviously, I'm open to everything. Like,
Is it just me though, or, and this is probably biased, I don't know, but a lot of metal musicians seem to want to work harder at their craft. That's just the impression.
They have to, don't know.
They have to. Really?
Yeah.
No, I think they have to.
With metal, and I felt that a lot over the years that I was playing more, let's say, palatable music than metal. It's just, it's a completely different audience because people are genuinely interested in the music as opposed to the whole package. I mean, the package is also important. By package, I mean your looks, I don't know, your stage persona, or how cool you are, your clothes, whatever. When I was playing
sexy.
What's
wrong with being sexy?
Let him talk.
Sorry,
Carl started this one.
Professional.
And I was playing in these more sort of pop rock bands. I mean, it was like the music was never number one, you know. The audience is there for other things.
Yeah.
And if you're not really hip, you're just like nobody's gonna pay attention. It doesn't matter how good your music is. As opposed to metal, you know, where I think a lot of the audience is, they're there for the music
primarily,
first, and then the rest, the rest helps, you know. But the music is number one, and I think that's the most important part, you know. That's what makes the difference, really. For you know, you're gonna go and you're gonna look for different bands and different genres. You know, it's not just because that's cool at the moment or whatever. And that's why metal just stays in its own sort of niche.
That's why it's always been.
It's always strong.
That's why when you think about it, and, you know, to obviously mention one of my favorite bands, Pantera, like, that's why something like Far Beyond Driven can be number one on the Billboard charts in 1994 at a time where that should not have been on the Billboard charts at all in 1994. Do you know what I mean? So
we noticed also, like, especially the bands who, like, the really big bands, like Metallica, for example, that was just on a couple of weeks ago. You
know, yeah,
the longevity they have as well.
Yeah,
because they keep on trying to improve. Or yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why I take, for example, Bruce Dickinson is one of my biggest influences.
Same
longevity. Like, yeah, he's still incredible.
Love him.
That's because he looks after himself and he keeps improving. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Like, I couldn't agree more on that point. Because Bruce Dickinson, for me personally, is probably in my top two or three favorite vocalists
Of
all time.
Same.
Like, when I first heard the Number of the Beast record, holy shit.
To me, it was Fear of the Dark.
Well, when I heard 22 Acacia Avenue, even though, like, I knew the other songs, when I heard the vocals on that, believe it or not, I know it's a strange song to pick.
But it stuck out for you.
I was like, this guy is actually piercing my ears with his voice. How can one do this?
Well, Maiden has that effect, especially when you're young. I think they are a band. I think we discussed that on your podcast once, Carl. Iron Maiden is that type of band that just, they're a gateway to metal. So if you start to listen to them when you're older, they may not have that much of an impact.
Sure.
But when you're a teenager, and you just listen to that for the first time, and then they have Eddie, and it's just it just blows your mind completely.
The package.
Exactly. The package. You know, Bruce Dickinson's package. What are you gonna do?
But listen, it's a hell of a package, man.
Still
a hell of a package. You know what I mean? If cancer can't beat Bruce Dickinson,
nothing
can. Yeah. You know. But look, we mentioned obviously Queen. We talked about really important band. 100%. I'm in agreement with that. Dave, what about you? Name it. Like, what do you think?
Well, we're talking about the bands. Let's say that is all of them are great in the craft. Led Zeppelin.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
All them put together as a super band, as a group in the end, like, you know, all are phenomenal.
And they are a super group in their own right. Yeah.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like, you know, yeah, like Robert Plant,
Jimmy Page.
That's like one of the best as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, like, I don't know if I get the sense sometimes that Robert Plant's a little underrated by the general scheme of things, maybe, but maybe I'm wrong.
I think
so much tension on Jimmy Page.
You're probably right. I always thought, actually, with Deep Purple, I thought Ian Gillan was actually quite underrated in terms of a singer. You may agree or may not agree. I always felt that Ian Gillan was a very underrated singer, and I thought that Robert Plant was gonna. Led Zeppelin were.
I think maybe some of the choices that Robert made over the years probably. You know, like, some
Robert didn't have the longevity we were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're thinking about. Yeah. Because maybe only had about like a 7 to 10 year run. It wasn't like a.
His solo career was never really that great, I don't think.
Yeah.
So it was the most successful out of all the rest of the guys in. Even though it was good, it was probably not compared to, let's say, Freddie.
Commercially or whatever. Yeah.
Very few to have that longevity, though. And they're like, I mean, look, if you look at all the kind of great, I mean, James Hetfield.
Paul McCartney is one of the only ones, solo artist wise.
Well, for example, like, you know, his voice is gone to.
His was gone pretty much after.
It went a long time ago.
Yeah,
the one thing he'll never lose is presence.
That's the thing. My brother and my dad went to see Down a good few years ago now in the Academy, and even though his voice still wasn't quite there what it was, they just said that he was just unbelievable.
He has paid enough in credit.
But all he has to do is go like that.
Yeah,
and everybody.
But I agree with Dave here. It's actually a really good point, because I remember I was never the biggest Led Zeppelin fan. I was actually a big Deep Purple fan. That's why I mentioned that. But I actually found myself about 2 or 3 years ago going back and watching some old Led Zeppelin gigs, just purely because my dad got a couple of DVDs. And it was magic. And I found very similar to Freddie Mercury, actually. Obviously in a very, very different sense, because, I mean, if we're talking about Freddie Mercury, I wanted to mention this when you were talking about that. If you look at that Live Aid gig, I mean, my missus was looking at it. We watched it, like, I think twice in the space of 2 weeks, and it was like, this man in a 30-minute set had me going, wow, I'm moving with him. But I think Robert Plant had that in a very subtle way, because he was very feminine in a lot of the way he moved, in a lot of his movements.
As Morrison was.
And the same way Axl Rose.
He was magnetic like that.
Yeah.
In the same sense.
But it was just, you were drawn to it. You can't take your eyes off someone, that means they have charisma.
It's serpentine. Yeah.
That's a fact.
It's that kind of like a snake almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. Serpentine movement.
If you can't take your eyes off someone that's on stage, because, I mean, let's be honest, if there's 5 people on stage, your eyes can go anywhere. Yeah. But if you're looking at that one guy and what he's doing and interested to see what he's doing next, that's charisma.
Absolutely.
That's 100% charisma. That's the definition of it. So I would 100% agree with you. Robert Plant, and by the way, what a voice. What a voice.
I think sooner or later everybody's going to go through, especially a vocalist, is going to go through a Led Zeppelin phase.
You got it. I mean, if you Stay Away to Heaven doesn't, like, even if that's the only song from Led Zeppelin that you know, if that doesn't do something to you, it's like Freebird. It's like Freebird as a guitar player. In fact, Freebird is. I'm saying is, do you know the way that would be the song that a lot of, you know, people would know? Like, if everyone talks about the famous, for example, for Queen, if the only song they hear is Bohemian Rhapsody, if that's the one that makes them go, whoa, holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Every band has that one song. Yeah. It's like Sweet Child of Mine for Guns N' Roses. Do you know what I mean?
It's like going back to what you were saying, Ev. It's like an organic super group.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to be that lucky. come together.
Made out of him.
Musicians that good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's
magic. It's absolutely pure magic.
In a way, it's strange. It seems like fate.
Yeah.
Made out of hemp. Back pretty then, much. Probably made out of hemp. possibly. Bit of acid thrown in, just saying. You throwing a band in? Do you want to throw a band in?
Yeah, again, it's probably, like, no surprise. Like, I mean, I know they're my favourite band.
Pearl Jam.
No, I was
oh. No, I think
good band.
I think it's goes without saying really that Alice in Chains are quite underrated.
Well, it's you're at the right table to bring that one up.
Yeah, I think like obviously Nirvana did kind of overshadow, and even Soundgarden for me are underrated as well. Like,
well, Pearl Jam overshadowed Alice in Chains, but I mean Pearl Jam were actually underrated when Nirvana were around as well.
Everyone was,
which was ridiculous
for some stupid reason. But like, Alice in Chains for me, like. If you just look at that again, we said earlier on about Queen being individual great artists and Zeppelin being individual great artists. You look at Alice in Chains for a second, you look at Jerry Cantrell and say, that's a fucking one of the best songs
in his own right. Heard, like, in his own right.
His solo albums are just as good as the albums.
Beautiful, beautiful, man.
Sorry to cut in there.
Lions Daily. No, you're. What else can I say about Lions Daily? Like, you know, even Sean Kinney, man, for me.
I used to buy Kerrang magazines just to see it in around 95, and I swear to God, when I learned of Lane's death, was literally in the Nutmeg shop in Bray, where I used to buy all my wrestling magazines. And I used to sometimes read them just to kind of, you know, the little articles. Do you remember them? Little articles on the side?
Yeah.
And that's how I learned of it. Because I used to look to see what Alice in Chains were going to be doing next. Because I was like, I kept hearing like, oh, Alice in Chains are going to be doing new stuff.
Obviously, like, you know, like, obviously, as I said, from my brother Liam being kind of named after them, like, you know, obviously they were in my life as soon as I was
very
born,
big, like, important part of the family. Like,
Like, as I said, like, if you look at them as individual artists, like, obviously Mike Starr before his death, he was an incredible bass player,
phenomenal bass player.
Oh, he really was. Like, and Mike Inez still is. Like, he's great,
incredible. Yeah,
but again, as again, going back to Sean Kinney, like,
friends don't let friends get haircuts.
But now for me, like, I think that's why I actually fell in love with Alice in Chains so much, because I was looking, I was like, it's weird, I never hear anybody else talk about this band. Why do I love, like, you know, why do I love them so much?
I'm with you though. Yeah,
you know, and I got, and me and my brother got fucking nearly probably all of my friends on Alice in Chains, like, you know, and they can say that they can hear it, I know they're all listening, they'll say that they heard them fucking first time, but they didn't.
I got onto Alice in Chains through, there was a family, through my stepmother around the corner, that, like, she used to work in the Play School, and they were a little bit older than me, and I was a big Pearl Jam fan. I found, my cousin was a Pearl Jam fan, so I bought Versus, which is a fucking phenomenal album, by the way, the second Pearl Jam album. A lot more aggressive, do you know what I mean, than 10. You probably would agree with me on it, like, Eddie's vocals on it are,
he,
like,
was very, oh, was man, there, wasn't he?
Very aggressive, like, it was really good. And they were like, oh no, you gotta listen to Alice in Chains and Soundgarden, so they kind of brought me onto that, and I was like, ooh, this is pretty good. Like, this is, but 100%. Like, Pearl Jam and Nirvana were like the gateway drug to Alice in Chains.
To the darker side of Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would agree with you. I think Alice in Chains are probably the. I mean, they're grunge, but they're metal as well.
Are they? That's what I mean. I'm not so sure if they are grunge, man.
I don't think they're grunge.
I think
that time and that era.
I think Pearl Jam are grunge in terms of, if you're talking about that album that I just mentioned, that's grunge. And I think some Soundgarden stuff is grunge, but I think Alice in Chains are dirty metal.
What's curious, and I think that sort of explains a little of why Alice in Chains is, you know, quotation marks, less popular than the other grunge bands, is that, let's remember that at the time, rock was still mainstream, you know.
This is true,
You know, in the 90s, we were spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Because, you know, you had all
Lucky
these bands
you,
playing on the radio. Because those bands were playing on the radio, they were on MTV, you know, like Soundgarden, Pearl
Ball,
Jam, Alice in Chains were bands that people, you know, knew and listened to.
They were the MTV Music Awards.
So you don't get that anymore. So I think that I can understand that maybe Alice in Chains had less mainstream palatable songs than some of their contemporary bands, and maybe that's why they got a little overlooked. So I think that was sort of over the years they got a cult following that eventually sort of solved that.
And I think they even are. I think they're getting that following back a little bit with how well I think that new album.
Because they keep
pretty good. Like,
they keep putting out albums, which is not the case for some of the others.
Yeah.
But you know,
three albums with the new band. Like, now
the first one, man, I thought was unbelievable. Man, because when Jerry was singing, it was like he was singing. Lane was singing through him.
Yeah.
Black gives way to blue.
Yeah. But what I like about the new record, man, Rainier Fog, is that they've actually given William Duvall more freedom now, and he's kind of singing on his own a little bit, and you're kind of listening, you're going, that's kind of what I've been waiting for with them. Like, he's kind of, it's almost like he was pushed into the background a little bit.
Well, he maybe had to earn his stripes a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Which I think is a fair, I think that's fair.
Probably is, but then again,
I think it's fair because if you're coming in under the Alice in Chains umbrella, that's gonna, it's like the way Metallica used to do with Jason Newsted. You know what I mean?
It's like many musicians coming into any established band.
Yeah. You gotta earn your stripes.
Like, I remember hearing an interview once of when Corey Taylor for Slipknot, he was doing Larry King or something like that, and some new guys who came in were like, listen, you're doing it very well, but it's not.
I've seen that interview actually.
You gotta, like, you can't just give people the whole cake and say eat it all now, you know. You gotta,
I think,
make,
he's done a great job since he's come in, and I think especially he gets a hell of a lot of criticism.
Well, for you to, for you as a major Alice in Chains fan, to say that,
the guy who died, so it's like,
that's what
it's,
I mean.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Not only that, but he was,
because you would be the guy,
and he was one of the best.
You'd be the guy that, I mean, if someone replaced Paul Stanley from Kiss for me, be like, go fuck yourself. Fuck you. Yeah, I know. Don't imagine.
Ironically, they
sorry, him. I just want to say to people out there, before anyone comes in, Paul Stanley is not going to die. He's immortal, just like Hulk Hogan. It's all good.
Are you
all
sure, right? Ian?
I'm happy to see a fellow Kiss fan.
Oh, man. This man, I'll tell you, I am like, yeah.
But what I was going to say is that, ironically, Paul himself has always said that he thinks that Kiss should carry on without any original member and just have a sort of a
franchise,
official franchise.
Well, that's because they just want that money, but like, that's
but
not,
I dig that, man. I don't believe in bands that when someone kind of dies, I don't believe that they should stop. Not for me. I don't care who the band is.
Yeah, but like, it'd be like
depends. It depends on the band. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah,
but like, if you take, it's like a musical,
Beatles,
you know,
like, you're not gonna have the Beatles without the four guys. You're not gonna have U2 without the four guys. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna have, like, say, name another iconic band in that sense.
You'd
that,
probably say Pantera, since when Dimebag died. You could probably.
Even when people wanted to bring, so that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Actually, people wanted to bring Zakk Wylde into the fold. Amazing guitar player, just as good, if not possibly up there with Dimebag. It's not going to be the same deal.
Well, I think for their sake, I don't think for the kind of crowd sake or the fans sake, I think for theirs, at the band's sake, if they want to keep doing their music, man, if you're not falling out of love with it, don't be afraid.
I always think the name should be changed personally. I'm old school like that. I'm old school.
Imagine playing with a band for so long and then playing with someone different after maybe, what, 20 years?
Just because you have to do it on a commercial side of things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It wouldn't.
Then it just becomes a franchise of the band, which makes no sense to me. No, it's not for me.
You have to think that some of these guys, like, they're famous, so they still have to deal with all the pressure from outside, you know, besides, you know, their own personal relationship there. So, you know,
let's give them the middle finger, man.
Well, Gabriel, actually, now that you're actually talking about that, what's your band? What band would you name?
I was going to name Iron Maiden, but then he was already brought to the table.
Iron
Maiden was a massive influence for me and Bruce Dickinson. I'm still a massive fan, and they were that band that really blew my mind. There was a summer a few years ago, because I didn't know, you know, this was the 90s, late 90s, and we didn't really have, you know, social networks, and the whole internet was still a new thing. And I remember that I had no information about Iron Maiden, except that I had on this bus that carried us to swimming practice, a guy brought his Iron Maiden Fear of the Dark CD and played, and that just blew my mind. I have to listen to more of that. But someone had told me that, oh, it's different singer, in different albums, because Dickinson wasn't in the band at the time. So I think the information just got confused, and I didn't know which album had Bruce Dickinson. So eventually I found out that it was almost all of them. And I had these savings that I was like, you know, every coin I could get, and I had built up these savings. And then there was one summer that they released all the albums, all the CDs, sort of remixed, and if you got them all together on
it
the
made Eddie's
on the,
head
on the spine, you made Eddie's head.
I have it.
The only album that I had at the time was Fear of the Dark, because it was the only one that I knew for sure had Bruce Dickinson on. Because
it was his return album.
Fear of the Dark. No, it was the last album.
Oh, no,
that,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no Prayer for the
This was all before Brave New World. All before he came back. And I had Fear of the Dark, and then I found out, okay, he's in almost every album. So I went to a shop and I just started buying CDs all the time. So in a matter of 2 weeks, I bought like 8 or 9 CDs, and I spent all my savings buying Iron Maiden CDs. And I just became a completely maniac.
He's the Brazilian version of me, basically. Yeah. Basically, yeah. It's the truth. Right, guys, before we get on back to the bands that we're here to talk about as well, your individual bands, let's do a little bit of fun before we take a little break, a little pause for the cause. Gonna do a little quick fire round, just purely based on this, right? Gonna give each and every one of you your favorite singer of all time and 30 seconds to explain why it's your favorite of all time, and I'm gonna judge the winner purely based on your explanation and why. Yeah?
Decide this right now.
No, you can. That's why it's a quick fire round. Mm. So Dave can't decide, so I'm going to start with Dave. I'm not going to be a dick. Oh, do you want me to? You want to go? All right.
I have an answer.
I was being ruthless, but I was only joking, but he wants to go in. Go for it.
I'm going to say Ronnie James Dio, and here's why.
Okay.
He is such an amazing vocalist. He has, you talk about charisma, on the stage. He doesn't even need to move around. Like, you speak about all these guys like Robert Plant or Freddie Mercury, they need to move around. He doesn't need to. He captivates you with his voice so much, and it draws you in so much. Let's say, Gabby, you talked about rock is sometimes for the gods. He was a fucking god.
That's true, yeah. He was.
Do you know what? He didn't even need 30 seconds, and already whoever is next has to fucking come up with that. Dave knocked it out of that. That was unreal.
I think you've won that, Dave.
Carol, go for it.
Is it my favourite vocalist, Terry?
Just
because, well, I'm gonna be honest with you. My two favourite singers that kind of got me interested in singing were Nat King Cole.
Can only pick one.
Okay, George Michael.
Okay.
Because I feel he had such a beautiful voice.
Absolutely.
He could sing anything.
Yeah. I agree.
He's excellent.
I agree.
Sing anything, and he transcends all types of music.
I agree.
You know, and it was such a pity that he made decisions in life. That's up to him or whatever.
Oh, look.
But he could have done so much more.
Beautiful voice, though.
He had an absolutely beautiful voice to, probably wrong choice of words, but to touch everybody in a way that probably very few could.
You touch men especially, what I mean?
That's not what I'm talking about, but I mean, if you want to get down that route, that's...
Right, guys, I'm just saying.
Yeah. 2.0, man.
Yeah. So that's
don't underestimate the kid.
That's it. Yeah, George Michael for me would have been an amazing vocalist.
Jay's losing his will now.
Deal, so.
Well, no, come on, it's all fun here. That's actually a really... That's actually a really good shout on George Michael, though, because believe it or not, I'm a really big fan.
Yeah,
really big. And
I mean, even the Wham stuff is brilliant. It's brilliant. It's great pop music.
Man, of course it is. It is great pop music. And at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with great pop music when it's done well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just unfortunately in life in 2019 that it's not done very well.
That's for another podcast.
By most.
There is some, and I'll always be open to correction. Anyone but Layne Staley.
Oh, I can't pick Layne Staley.
No, of course you can pick Layne Staley.
Well, the answer to my question is Layne Staley.
He might have us in tears by the end of this 30 seconds.
No,
by the way.
I've got to keep it short and sweet. I think the fella that's replaced him is a top class singer.
Yeah.
And the fact that he gets a lot of criticism says it all about Layne Staley. So I'll leave it at that.
Do you know what? That's actually a good one. That's really good.
Gabriel. Yeah, I'm not going to go anywhere near any of
those.
Just
stay here for the night.
I'm going to pick Steven Tyler from Aerosmith because he is the best rock, the best voice in rock to me. The notes that he hits at age 70 something.
Yeah.
And the charisma. He's kind of like Freddie Mercury, I think, in the way that he embodies the rock star persona.
I agree.
He's not acting on stage. It's not
natural.
It's he's natural. Still alive. That's who he is.
He's still alive. Yeah. The shit yeah. that he went through.
And
he
all the toxic yeah, all
twins.
The drugs.
The
yeah,
toxic like, twins.
With
man.
All the drugs, all the drinking, he's still amazing life. Yeah. I saw Aerosmith live 4 times, and he was brilliant.
Like Vince Neil yeah. thought he was going to be the next rock star, and he's look at no, him
Vince
now
Neil,
compared to
Vince
you know.
Neil. Vince Neil has nothing on Steven Tyler.
No, no never did.
Not even close. And plus, he plays the piano. He writes all those songs. He's just incredible. And it's just an inspiration, and I absolutely love his voice.
Can I just say, just kind of come in there? Do people think this guy's good looking because of someone to call out on this?
Who?
Steven Tyler.
Man, he's a sexy beast purely because of his persona.
Maybe,
but he's not good looking.
Yeah. My girlfriend actually.
There's a difference.
He's good.
Well, yeah. So does Rachel. Rachel does thinks. She? Rachel it's thinks that. Yeah. Man, Rachel thinks, but it's the persona. It's yeah. just, it's the persona.
Maybe that's what
he's
it
got.
Is.
He's got the mojo.
He's got the mojo.
Yeah.
It's like Rachel looked at, say, Vince Neil, because Vince Neil was considered good looking back in the day. You know, blonde hair, slim, tanned, blah blah blah. She was like the state of him. Whereas the proper Northside Dublin state. Him whereas she saw the hack of him but then saw like Steve Tyler, she was like, he just looks cool. Do you know what I mean? So there's an attraction there in the sense based on a natural charisma that you're not trying too hard.
It is, of course.
I wasn't going to get involved in that. I have a winner. It's hands down, it's Dave. He had to because
he won from the start,
but he did because, and I think you're all in agreement that because I mean the fact that he was like, I chose you first as well, and you were like, no, I haven't. I'm
Dave's on the radio though.
No, so, yeah.
I knew I was gonna create. I was hoping to create some sort of controversy
he has
here.
To know how to talk.
I had no answer in my head, and I thought to myself, "Oh wait, no, Dave."
Dave's been asked this question before.
No, big time. Yeah.
I asked him about an hour before.
Sort of offensive, Dave.
I wasn't talking to him an hour beforehand at all. At 5:42, I think it was that time. No, I'm just gonna throw out. Paul McCartney for me.
Great.
Yeah, Paul McCartney for me is my favourite of all time. Paul Stanley is my favourite actual vocalist, I think, in a lot of ways, purely because I just love Paul Stanley. I mean, he is Mr. Charisma, and people would say that Paul Stanley tries too hard, but he really doesn't. That's just the way he is. He's just an energetic ball of fucking
sex.
Movement yeah. of sex. Yeah, exactly. And what's wrong with being sexy? You know what I mean? Nothing. Sexist.
What's wrong with a hairy chest and some leather, right?
You know what I mean? A big Jewish American man with big flowy hair, just you know, changing the game basically. But no, Paul McCartney for me would be a songwriter, just in terms of visionary, everything. I mean, what he's done with the Beatles, and then what he's done with Wings, and what he's done on his own.
He's where he is for a reason.
Let's be honest. Yeah, the dude never died out, and he's still as relevant as he ever was.
I'm going to say something that I would have said on my podcast many a time, but if it wasn't for the Beatles, none of us would be here today.
That's a damn
Don't
truth.
Yeah.
Didn't Phil Anselmo say that on my podcast? Ozzy Phil Anselmo
Osbourne.
Said that.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne was in a band which started to metal.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And Phil Anselmo said that as well, as you, because we talked about this.
Yeah.
He said it. It was like the Beatles wrote the book. They wrote the book. When you know, people always go, what do you mean? Like, I want to hold your hand and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're only listening to the lyrics and the kind of the narrative almost of the song. You're not listening to the song itself. If you actually take away even the lyrics and just listen to the little notes and stuff that they're doing, you're like, it just transcends into rock and roll, metal. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, let's take a little pause for the cause, because I'm sure there's many bladders that need emptying.
There's lungs that need nicotine.
Lungs that need nicotine. And we'll come back.
Nicotine again? What's the word?
Nicotine
Kelly.
Oh my God, what a name. You should become a rapper. Nicotine Kelly, I like that.
Yeah. Nicotine Kelly. Just a visionary. I should just write lyrics for people.
Be
grand.
Yeah,
you do the melody. I'll just write it.
Gavin, be grand. Boys can take care of that.
I think any of the stuff I wrote, it'd be definitely Gabriel, wouldn't it? He'd be the guy to sing it,
yeah?
Be cheesy as shit. 35.
I found love.
So let's just take a little break, and we'll come back. and when we come back, by the way, just so we know, we are going to talk about the bands individually and what's next and what the plans are, because obviously there's lots of exciting gigs and stuff coming up. There's projects that a lot of yous have, but there's also releases that we want to talk about as well. And we want to let all these fine guys and gals of Dynamo's Dozen know where they can avail of this. All right, so we'll be back.
Hey, if you're like me and you're a fan of your wrestling merch and your MMA merch and your boxing merch, there's only one place I go, and that is Wrestling Mania. That's right, Wrestling Mania is located at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre. It's your one-stop shop for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. It's Ireland's only dedicated pro wrestling shop and carries all the latest wrestling, MMA, and boxing merch, including brands like WWE and UFC and Ring of Honor, and much, much more. And hey, if they don't have it in there, they can get it. If you don't see what you want and you know something that you do want, well, the guys in the shop can get it in for you. And get this, if you can't make it into the shop, they'll send it to you. That's right, they will actually deliver it to your house. So if you want your wrestling, MMA, or boxing hookup, go to Wrestling Mania, located once again at the top floor of Dublin St. Stephen's Green Shopping Center. Go check them out on Facebook. So it's Wrestling Mania on Facebook. You'll be able to drop them a mail. Very responsive, very appreciative, and also very welcoming and accommodating. Wrestling Mania, for all your wrestling, MMA, and boxing needs. Go right now.
Okay, so guys, we are back. What I need to know, and this is kind of, we've had our fun talking about, you know, different bits and pieces. What I need to know is, what is, in terms of you guys, your bands, yeah? What is, you know, we've talked about before on the break, what you guys are up to. What is next in terms of gigs? What is next in terms of releases? And where are you guys situated in that regard? I'll start with Jason.
Well, obviously, we've just finished recording our EP. We released the first single off it there, I think, 2 weeks ago, Aurora. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but it's got a pretty good response. So hopefully that'll be the full thing, will be out for release, hopefully maybe in the next week or so. Gig-wise, we were actually meant to have one tomorrow night in the Purty Kitchen in Dunleary, but got cancelled. We were meant to be supporting a Black Sabbath band, but our next show, we've got the 19th of July, supporting Thin Lizzy in Fibbers.
Yep.
And then we got a fucking mammoth show the day after, the 20th of July. We're headlining and Drop Dead Twice, and we have support from Sectoil and Psychosis.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
Which is going to be a fucking, for €5 in, that is just an absolute bargain. To I see three, to just three awesome bands. I know Dave is playing the same night, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm playing in Fibbers, yeah.
I'm playing in Fibbers. We're going to be playing the Chester Benson tribute night in Fibbers. Nice. So.
Going to pop down to that after, man. Yeah, but
that'll be pretty cool,
yeah. Then other than that, man, we just got some other shows, I think, in September then as well, in the Purty Kitchen as well. So, then hopefully we'll be in the studio by maybe December, maybe January, to get the album done, get the debut album done.
We might be having another gig together at the end of the year. We might be.
Yeah, actually, yeah, we might be up with Two Tales of Woe and the Dystopian Project again. Yeah, we're still waiting on a date to be confirmed for that. So the Dystopian Project will obviously have the full electric set. So yeah, a few things happening with us. Eh?
Awesome.
It's all good.
Gabriel?
We finished recording our album, so it's done, it's mixed and mastered, ready to be launched. It's our debut full length. Very excited about that. We don't have a launch date yet. We're in the process now of deciding, you know, the single, probably going to do a video for that. We're looking into, you know, maybe getting a PR campaign done, something like that, just trying to get to push the album outside of Ireland as well. And that's it. Like, for the next year, all energy is going to be on promoting this album. And we have a couple of we have the gig, of course, that Jason just mentioned on July 20th. We have a couple of other gigs that are unconfirmed at the moment that we're trying to organize. And I imagine that, you know, we're going to try to, you know, do something in terms of a proper launch for the album. So I don't know when that's going to be. But hopefully, you know, sooner rather than later. And that's it. So all energy is going to be in the album.
Awesome. Awesome.
So more details coming soon.
I look forward to hearing that. Yeah, I'll allow that announcement to be made on King Will's court. I don't want to steal any thunder, but I'm sure I will be able to announce it once it is there, and I look forward to hearing.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah, and Dave.
Well, we're in the middle of recording our second EP at the moment. So we're recording it down in Red Lake Studios in Portlaoise.
Yeah,
we're almost there now. I think we have one more weekend, and then we should have everything. Finished mixing all that,
because you were doing it this weekend just gone as well.
I literally just recorded my vocals just last weekend now.
Awesome.
I'm very happy with it now, so we'll see. So we still have a lot of final bits and pieces, but we're definitely on the right road. We haven't got a release date yet, or at least a solid date yet, but all I can say is that we do have a plan for a date and a release, but we have to wait until everything's in full motion, guys, because we're still recording everything at the meantime.
With
everything gone to plan, we hopefully will be previewing it hopefully just after the summer, or releasing, I should say, just after the summer. So I would like to say a date, but not at the moment. So
that's okay.
We're also all going to be recording a separate single as well, very soon as well. We're going to be recording that down in, I can't remember the studio actually for the life of me, but it's the Symmetry Industries, who are the guys who are going to be looking after us in that case.
Oh yeah, that's Symmetry. That's where we're doing the EP.
So they're going to
Gav, is it?
Yeah, Gav.
Top man.
He'll be looking after us for our single there, and we haven't really thought of a plan behind that yet. So we're just going to be recording that and see where we go from there. Gigs wise, we'll be fortunately clashing with you two, unfortunately, on in Fib McGee's. We're playing tribute nights for Chester Benson's second anniversary, believe it or not. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I know, it's crazy. Which means it's Chris Cornell's as well.
So we'll be playing with a Linkin Park tribute band called Phoenix Park, which is
good. I've seen that name. Really cool.
I like that. It's really cool. I like that.
We're also playing with Cork Street Posse and Ritual Effect. Have you ever seen Cork Street Posse, by the way? Like, you have to check that.
Kev Kirwan put up something about
sounds
them,
like a rap group.
They're a rap duo.
I know. Aaron was in our band for a few months, the band that I had before, Divide of Everything. He's a great guy. We had a good run with him.
Yeah, so they have a bit of metal infused in them, and I really enjoyed seeing them last time. So we're playing with them, and one of my mates is the bassist for the Phoenix Pack, so and all proceeds go to Aware Charity for that.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah,
we also have a gig, I think, somewhere in early August. I think we're supporting the Pantera tributes in Fibbers as well, so that's right up your alley.
Nothing to do with Ian.
Hopefully all going to plan, we could be launching our EP in September, so we'll see what happens there. So
awesome. That's 101 proof you're playing with, is it, or is that the
101%?
That's why I was joking. No one heard me say that. I was like, second class singer. But I was like, no, we're messing. That's pretty good. That's awesome. And so I've got no dates from anyone yet, which I'm going to get onto with Carl, because his dates have already been released because his stuff is released. I'm actually glad I chose this. This is very, very meticulous, you know. Carl, you have stuff released. You have stuff now that you've...
Well, we're actually the least active of the bands that are around the table, just because we're old and we're...
In your 50s,
you know, lazy
and all those kind of things.
Well, we just released Bloodwood, which was last month. No, the 4th of May or something like that. May the 4th, really happy
made
with it.
May the 4th.
Really, really happy with it. Mainly self-produced. Except for the drums, which were recorded with Gav Doyle and Symmetry Industry. Produced and mastered by Johnny Wyban. We just did the official, I suppose you had the official launch gig last week with Creep and Dystopian Project, which was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
It was great.
Pretty fucking awesome.
For anyone that hasn't seen the videos, there is a video up on floating around social media, Facebook, maybe YouTube, I don't know.
No,
might be on YouTube. If it isn't, it should be. Of Carl and Jay doing a cover of Again from Alice in Chains. And man, Carl, what was my reaction? What did I say to you when you sent me the video? It gave me chills, but it also made me quite emotional. I'm not ashamed to say it. I actually did tear up a little bit, I have to say, purely because unfortunately I wasn't at the gig for family reasons.
It's okay.
But Yeah, it was just, it was, the two voices just meshed into...
We've been saying it for ages that we wanted to do something together, and then...
And it was actually crazy, we didn't rehearse, or nothing, you know, and just Carl stepped up and just, he made my life very easy, very easy.
Well, you made
but I'm sure you made his life very easy as well, though, Jay, you know, it takes
so,
two.
Yeah.
Takes
so two. Tomorrow we're playing in Belfast.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Is that what I'm saying, Jake?
Yeah, I do realise it's
tomorrow. So we're playing with Bad Bo and Spirit Ruiner.
Spirit Ruiner, by God.
Yeah, man, Bad Bo are old school. They're going as long as us, so it should be a bit of crack. And
Belfast is kind of like your
second home. Yeah, we haven't been there in a long time, so be interesting to see how that goes.
Good old Katie Daly's stories. Katie Daly's.
Fine, yeah, we're playing in the Voodoo up there, which I think it's, geez, it must be about 12 years since we played up there.
Katie Daly's still going up there?
Katie Daly's, yeah, but I don't think they play gigs there anymore. It's more the Limelight now.
Limelight, yeah.
What else are we doing? A couple more gigs coming up. One possibly in August. One possibly in near the end of the year with Dystopian and Creep again. But we're not aiming to do a lot of gigs. We want to record more than play gigs. So if all goes according to plan, we're going to hopefully record by the end of the year.
So let's talk about what's already recorded and where people can find it.
Bloodwood is available on Bandcamp, and it's also on like all streaming formats, like,
of course,
Spotify and whatever other ones, iTunes and that kind of stuff. You can also get it from us physically at gigs, which is the way I like it to be, because you know it's more personal.
Yeah,
you know, or like, and as like that, you get them on Bandcamp as well, physically as well. So I mean, it's there for people if they want it. You know?
So if any of you beautiful, sexy guys and girls out there want to listen to
Bloodwood.
Yeah.
We all, oh, by the way, we
No,
all
no, but it's, no, sorry, I was, this is where we got each other wrong. I was going to say Two Tales of Woe, Bandcamp, but just go on to Bandcamp.
Bandcamp and all the other streaming sites, we're on them all. But we also now have the last few remaining copies of the first album available on Bandcamp as well.
Conversation with Death.
That's the one
of the best. One of the best Irish metal albums of all time.
Thank you.
Hell Again is a song that will live on forever.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But hopefully, as I say, we hope to follow up Bloodwood by the end of the year, at least record it. We're writing, but I think we've nearly enough for another EP now. Ross is just a machine at writing riffs. I've said it loads of times, but he's.
And he's a Chelsea fan.
He is a Chelsea fan.
So that's always nice. This is a Chelsea podcast.
It
so
sure is.
It's a Chelsea podcast. Super Frank.
But we're happy.
Is Frank Lampard their manager now?
Frank Lampard is about to be the next manager within the next 48 hours.
They got the Mickey Mouse European.
The Mickey Mouse. We have a Pikey on the podcast, guys.
Liverpool got the big one, didn't they?
I love Liverpool.
Oh, what would you like to tell us, Jason?
Liverpool won the Champions League for the sixth time.
I can't say it.
I love the fact that we only went for the Europa League twice and we won it twice. I love that.
Do you know what's hilarious? There was a guy in the airport the other day when I was flying out to Portugal, and he was drunk as fuck going, six in a row, Liverpool, six in a row. And I was like, sir, I understand that you've just won the Champions League and I commend you on it, but you didn't win the Champions League for the last 6 years. It was a long time ago. And he kind of went, all right, yeah, you kind of got me on that one. I didn't think about that one.
I'm going to put the kid in his place once more as well, just before we go on here. There's been only one team, as far as I can remember, who have won the Europa League while still won the Champions League, and that's Chelsea.
That have won the Europa League while what?
While still been the champions of Europe. When we won the Europa League, we were still the Champions League winners.
This is very true.
So,
and there's also only one team in London that's ever won it, thanks to Liverpool. So this year, I'm very grateful to Liverpool that they won the Champions League just to stop.
You're welcome.
Them dirty Spurs.
Winning
it. I dirty can't say Spurs. I'm a United fan, so we've done.
You and mine, Dave.
Gabby, do you like football?
Do you have a team, actually? No, I don't follow. I have no idea.
Brazilian that doesn't like football. Yeah. That's a first.
That is a first, isn't it?
That's a very first.
I don't watch football. I know nothing about it. I don't even follow Brazilian football.
You don't like Pele?
Pele, man. Come on. Like Pele, no?
Ronaldinho.
Yeah. You know, Pele was, you know, he's even got his own kick. They say it on Raw every week. The Pele kick, you know, it's his own one.
Well, the way he gets the ball.
When he gets the ball. Bebeto. Anyway, one last question, guys, before we go. Before the ladies in our life kick our ass. When are you guys going to do something together? All four of you.
We're doing something together now.
Yeah, but you got to do something musical.
I'm keeping secrets. Like, you know, someone in this room knows like secrets. I think that I know.
I think so. Maybe I'm asking this question purely.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I do.
Blame the creep. Okay. All the time, blame the creep.
Is the creep being blamed on this one?
I think I'm being blamed.
I'm just asking the question, man. It's written.
But how awesome would it be to have 2000, Element X, Sectoid and Creep play one show together, man?
Yeah, it'd be great.
As an outsider? I think it'd be pretty awesome.
I think it'd be pretty awesome too. I think it's four different bands again. It's none of this same stuff you hear kind of all the time. Like, you know, it's something different for different bands that you can kind of say Irish metal is in very, very good hands. So,
well, I've always said it to you, and I've played with you already, but I've always wanted to play with all those bands. So
let's make it happen.
Levy, let's do it,
Levy, if you listen to this, book films.
Levy. Book this.
Levy, you know I like you. I've made you a lot of money in the past. He knows this. I've made him a lot of money in the past. We've always done dodgy dealings together. So, let's do it. Let's book it. And, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think it's been a pretty cool podcast,
great,
actually, because
absolutely.
It's great, been very different. It was, you know, it was nice, and I guess for me, my job was easy here because it's all just kind of.
We're vocalists. We like to talk.
Yeah.
Yes. No wonder we're frontmen.
Yeah, it was nice to have ego.
We're too full of ourselves.
Yeah. No, I believe everybody should have a little bit of an ego in some way, shape, or form.
If you don't have it, you're not going to.
If you don't,
it's simple as that.
You know, you're not going to make it anywhere.
Well, there's a difference between having it on the stage and not having it on the stage. I always like to believe,
but all four people have it in the studio as well.
Yeah. But I mean,
except for me, obviously.
Oh, you're very humble. Very humble. Yeah.
Like the Sheik.
No, yeah, I
don't.
fucking humble. No, it's been a pleasure, guys. I have to say, this has actually been one of my favorite podcasts. I have to say, not just for the setting, thank you, Dave, and thank you, Near FM, but also just in general, it's been a great podcast. It's been actually very entertaining for me to be able to just shoot the shit about music, hear about different perspectives on different people's, I guess, influences, but also hear people's perspectives on some of my favorite bands too. So it's been really cool, guys.
Thanks for putting it together, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I think on that note, everybody on three, say Dynamo over and out. 1, 2, 3.
Dynamo over and out.
There we go. Carl was very excited about that one. That's it. Dynamo over and out.